Laughing-Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto hosting with your host, the Gypsy Musher, Iditarod, and Yukon Quest 2012 champion, Hugh Neff. Hugh, how's it going?
Greetings from Paris, Robert.
So where in the world is Paris? I understand it's the home of Alfalfa from the Little Rascals and Our Gang. What else is going on out that way?
Actually, it's just south of where I went to college at U of I in Champaign, Illinois. And Amanda Henry and her husband Chet invited me down here 2 years ago to talk to the school here, and back again to do it, and actually get ready to have a little lunch with them after I speak with you. But it's been awesome, man. The drive down from Milwaukee today, just pouring rain and lightning and thunder. You know, coming from Alaska, it's sort of cool to see this type of weather phenomenon, because we don't get much of that where we're at.
You know, we are having beautiful weather here in Willow. All the snow's melting, and looks like we're heading into spring. But you are on your school tour, your spring school tour, for the next month or so. Where are you planning to visit during the next 30 days?
Oh, all over the place. I'll be up in Clarendon Hills outside of Chicago tomorrow. And then I'm actually meeting with various folks in the Chicagoland area through the end of the week, and then I'll be heading to visit with my friend Tracy Stalker over in Hamburg, just outside of Buffalo, and have a bunch of talks as usual in the Rochester area, Webster, and that area, and which is in western New York. And then I'll be, as usual, I do about 10 talks in the New York State every year. So I'll be in Westchester County a lot, and my sister Teresa's at a school in New Haven, Connecticut. So a lot of traveling, that part, and then I'll be heading through Pennsylvania. And from there, I'll be in North Carolina this year. I'm doing about twice as many schools as usual, so I'll be there for about a week or so. And then we come back through Ohio, Indiana, and then back into the Chicagoland area at the end of the month. So it's a usual loop I do, and I really enjoy it. I've just been sort of getting pumped up because, you know, I can sort of feel the excitement of the kids. Their teachers obviously have been telling them about my visit, and, you know, it's a great way not only to promote the sport but to get myself sort of psyched up for next year and, you know, share the love of what dog mushing is all about.
So during this month or so, you are truly the Gypsy Musher traveling around. Can you tell your listeners how you get around and about? Do you stay with families? Do you stay in hotels? Do you rent a car? How does this work, you?
I have host families, or I'll get a hotel. I rent a vehicle in Milwaukee, and I just drive, man. And by the end of this, I would say close to twice as wiped out as I did right out of the Quest. I mean, it's a month of nonstop movement. I'm pretty wiped. It's nice that I get to visit with relatives and friends on weekends, which is cool. And I do a lot of hiking. I love to go backpacking or, you know, do a day hike up in the hill somewhere. That's why I love getting down to the south in Carolina, where there's some good, you know, mountains to check out, the Smokies and all that. But, yeah, typically I'll either stay at a hotel or a host family. And, you know me, though, I don't really need too much sleep. I'm working on 5 hours last night. I was up visiting my friends Steve and Mike up in the Milwaukee area. And that's, you know, people look at me as sort of a celebrity and what I've done in mushing and all that, but I think really the coolest part about my life is that I'm still, you know, best friends with the guys that I've known since we were like 6 years old. We've got like our little standby me group of dudes that we all went to grade school at St. A's and high school at Loyola, and my buddy Tim, who's out in Colorado, and Steve and Mike are here in Wisconsin. We've done it all together. We were in Boy Scouts for, you know, 20 years together in Wisconsin. Every year we'd be up there. So it's pretty neat to get to hang out with those guys. And hopefully at the end of the month we're going to be doing some rafting up on the Wolf River up in northern Wisconsin. So that would be cool.
Very cool. And we're going to keep this show relatively short. I know you're trying to grab lunch before you set up for your show, but I want to ask how your show operates. I know I was a participant at one of your shows several years ago for my daughter's school, but tell the folks that are listening what happens during this talk that you give to the kids.
So every year I have the same theme. I call it shock and awe. And, you know, how kids, they don't want to know about numbers and statistics and all that. Maybe some do, but not. When I was going to school, I was more of a into the history classes and English and writing and stuff like that. So when I do my talks, a lot of these kids want to hear the animal encounter stories that I have that you're well familiar with the moose and the wolf and all that sort of stuff. And I talk about, you know, what it's like out there traveling, but with the dogs. But a lot of what I'm doing is actually just motivational speaking. I'm trying to relate my life and my struggles and what I've had to do to overcome, to talk about the roller coaster of life and how you have your ups and downs. And I'm just trying to relate to these kids that, you know, if you want to achieve your dreams, you have to go after it. You just can't sit back and expect things to be given to you. And that being said, if you are one of these, you know, luckier children from a wealthier family who are given things, I don't know if that's necessarily as satisfying as actually taking risks in life and trying to do something a little bit more unique like I've done. So I'm trying to, you know, share all that I've been given so that others can achieve their dreams. And it's very satisfying. A lot of these kids might not be into dog mushing as much, but they love Alaska, and they always have questions about Alaska, that's for sure.
So what do kids understand about dog sledding in a town like Paris, Illinois, total urban setting? You know, of course, they don't have the chance to experience what we do up here in Alaska. What are some of their questions that they ask right off the bat in terms of the sport of mushing from an urban perspective?
Well, they just want to know, like, where you sleep at night and what's it like at 20 or 30 below. They want to know, you know, they always want me to bring a dog, but you know how it is, man. Just my travel alone is pretty tough. Talking to 25 schools every year, it's a little too much traffic and just too stressful on the animal. That's why I don't really bring dogs. I have a little stuffed dog that I have. I call him Cuddly Deadly, and I use him as my demo to show you about harnesses and booties and stuff like that. But the kids are, you know, fascinated by just the adventure of it all, you know, and what it's like being on your own out there in the cold for a week or so at a time. And there's always some goofy questions, too, but I really appreciate it when the teachers actually beforehand have the kids actually write down questions, so that way when we do the question and answer part of my show, you don't have kids that sort of go blank in the head or get all nervous because they're all focused and they're all ready to ask me whatever their question may be. But, yeah, I learn a lot through these shows, too. These kids are not only analyzing me, but I'm analyzing them. And from school to school, I can learn a lot about teachers and just the whole method of teaching by seeing how they relate to their children. And sometimes, you know, for me at least, children and dogs have a lot in common. So it's they're like a bunch of little furballs to me.
Well, you know, you hear stories all the time about Iditarod guys that are running the race now will say, you know, I got my start by hearing one of these talks in school when I was a kid. Do you think that that's still possible in 2012, that some of these kids that are listening to your talks will eventually, you know, venture up here to the Great White North and try what you're trying?
I'm sure there's a few. I remember there's a little girl up at Marco's class there in Duluth, Minnesota, that I visited last Christmas time, and she was really into it. So I have a feeling I might be racing against her in 20 years. But it's not even just about the dog mushing in Alaska. It's about a lot of what I'm talking about is being team players and how if you're a dog that might be talented, but you're a biter dog or you don't get along with the rest of the dogs, I'm probably not going to have you in my main race team. I just try to relate that to the kids about how you have to get along with each other and, you know, for the sake of the team, sometimes you have to tone down what you're about to make the team more cohesive. And I try to just relate about being humble in life and trying to, you know, we all are, as mushers, I think we're all fairly narcissistic in our beliefs in ourselves and in our dogs, but in the long run, we should at heart be as much about the sport and the history of these races. And, you know, when it comes down to it, we're all, I think, really lucky to do what we do. So I just talked to the kids about how in Alaska, I don't really use the word work. I call it play because, you know, it's a passion. And life, if you have a job that you really enjoy doing, I mean, there ain't that much stress. And we all know how stress is really what brings people down in the long run. So if you can have a positive outlook on life, it makes the world a happier place for all of us, I think.
Well, you know, I just have a couple more questions, Hugh, so you can get to your lunch. But tell me about these teachers. I see these posts on Facebook, and man, you're a regular rock star to some of these guys. What in the world is going on with these teachers and your fans there?
I know, man. Well, it's, you know, I'm obviously a little goofy in the head and a little bit charismatic and all that sort of stuff. And even in races, I'll come into a checkpoint, people say, like, Hugh, that's the rock star and all that, and to me, I mean, that's all cute or whatever, but it's also personally sort of a insult because I want people to say they're shooting up the dog, man, and I'm obviously not to that point yet where I want to be at least. So when people talk about me in those terms, I'll be even more proud about what the dogs and I have accomplished. But the teachers, you know, a lot of them are just, they're into it because they see how the kids really get into it. And I think they really, it's easier for them to use dog mushing to promote their studies, whether it's science or math or just about Alaska or, you know, geology or what have you. And a lot of these teachers, I've been doing some of these talks like in New York for 9 years in a row now. And this all started with actually my sister Teresa, who is teaching in New Haven now. She's not a teacher, she's a dean actually, but in Chicago she was teaching, and that's where I first started doing these talks just over 10 years ago. And it's pretty neat. A lot of these teachers, you know, like Martha Moran, I've been doing talks at her school, and now she's been the teacher on the trail, and I did her out, and she was a volunteer last year. And it's pretty cool. And, you know, I think the teachers are almost like students in a way as well, and they're learning too. And it's a great tie-in with Iditarod, and it's pretty neat to see, and hopefully the Quest will get a little bit more promoting the whole angle with kids as well, because it's a great way to promote the future of the sport through the Internet.
Well, you know what? I don't want to put you on the spot here too much, but I hope to have a show or two with you during your tour here. But what do you think about having one of these teachers on the show with you in the coming weeks?
That should be no problem. I'll talk to them on via the Internet, and we'll get one of them. Maybe even I can see if meet up with Martha, because Martha just sort of gone really into it, and she was volunteering this year, and I think she's coming back next year to do it, so she's a pretty cool lady. Sally Simon was coming for Iditarod for many years, and Kim Roderick, and there's a whole plethora of teachers that are not only teaching their kids, but they go up to the teacher camp that Iditarod puts on at the end of June during the Iditarod picnic. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, so we just have about a minute or so left. What else do you want to mention here on this?
It's green, and there's birds that are everywhere. It's, like, so different from Alaska, because, you know, I was just there a couple of days ago, and everything there is still thawing out a little bit, a little dusty. Everything up there is just starting to bloom a little bit, where down here, it's, you know, it feels like summer is probably in the early 70s, I'd say, and it's supposed to be in the high 80s by the end of the week here. So by that time, after being down here for a month, I'm ready to get back to Alaska, believe me, though. Not only because I miss the poop or the dog so much, but just the weather gets a little bit too much for me to handle.
Before we go, Hugh, tell us a little bit about that trip to Hawaii. I know you just got back last week, but how was that compared to Alaska?
It was expensive. Hawaii is expensive compared to Alaska, which I didn't realize. Nicole and I went to Kona and visited with Jaime, who was one of my handlers, along with Bruce and Fan Man John Larson, for the Quest, and Jaime and his girlfriend and Carrie that live in Hilo, and she's a nurse there, and so we went to the beach with them and hung out with them. And the Big Island, very sunny and nice on the one side, and then the other side was all tropical rainforest. So it was fun. I loved it, but after about 5 days, to tell you the truth, I couldn't wait to get back to Alaska because a little congested for me. I was getting a little bit claustrophobic. I like my big, wide-open spaces like most Alaskans do. So we'd like to go back there again one day, but right now I'm busy talking to kids. So got a nice tan and all that, but I'm sort of a land lover. I'm not like the greatest swimmer in the world. I didn't really swim that much growing up as a kid. And in Alaska, most of the places are fairly cold water to swim that much. So I let the other folks snorkel, and I just caught a lot of good rays.
Very cool, very cool. So Hugh, enjoy your talk today. Do you have some spots open still? Are you still taking some tours if people call you up?
Yeah, they can contact me, Laughing Eyes Kennel at hotmail.com. End of May in the Chicago, Indiana, Wisconsin area, I have some available dates. And the middle of the month, I might have an open day or two available for folks in the New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania areas. And besides that, we're pretty clogged up. We've got a lot of folks that are waiting for us to arrive, and plenty of cool Laughing Eyes Kennel championship souvenirs that my buddy Bruce Hagstrom designed that will be available for folks to get, as well as my Iditarod cards and used Iditarod booties, stuff like that. So it's a great way to not only make a little income for myself, but give the kids a little bit of a memento to remember the moment by.
Very cool. So this is Hugh Neff, UConn Quest champion 2012, and on his school tour for the spring session, he will also do it in September as well, and we'll make sure that we post info about that as we're going. Hugh, we'll see you soon. Go ahead.
Yeah, September, actually, end of September, for all my German friends, I'll be heading out that way. So end of September, I'm hoping to do a tour like this, but in Germany.
Oh, very cool.
With my buddy Sui and all my other friends in Germany. And I think I already related to you that I'm going to be a marshal of a dog race in Australia in July. So that'll be pretty neat, too, to go check that area out and see how they run dogs down there.
Very good. So that was Hugh Neff calling in from Paris, Illinois. Enjoy your trip out there, Hugh, okay?
We're not allowed. Time to have some lunch, man. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Hey, talk to you soon. This is Robert Ford on behalf of Hugh Neff, the Gypsy Musher. Talk to you guys later. Goodbye.